Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks very much for joining us. My next guest is Michelle Tillis Letterman, and she's joining us from Executive Essentials in South Orange, New Jersey. And let's get right into it. Michelle, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
We're going to talk about communications and likability and how it has to do with how relationships can drive business growth, Michelle. So tell us about how you got started in this and what you all do at Executive Essentials.
Sure. Well, I jokingly say I'm a recovering CPA. I spent the first decade of my career in multitude of finance positions. And in one of my latest ones, my towards the end of that part of my life, I was managing about $100 million for a bank. And I had a lot of people coming in wanting that money. And they were entrepreneurs starting hedge funds and different businesses, and it was driving me crazy the way they were pitching to me. And I wanted to go reach across the table and explain to them how to do it. And that became the business. And so I'm the author of two books, mainly about how we connect in business to ensure that we are building and sustaining our network and our relationships for a long-term perspective on our business growth. And, you know, I do that in any way people will let me, to be perfectly honest. I will write about it. I will speak about it. I will coach one-on-one. But really, the business Executive Essentials started as a training company. And so we go into organizations, and we find out the pain points in the growth of that business, and we customize programs for that business to get over the pain points.
I see. So now, you talk about likability, and why does that matter so much in business these days? Why is it so important?
You know, it's very interesting. I was once asked by a large professional financial firm to come in and do a talk. And it was a women's group. They were all excited. I was brought in by somebody who'd seen me speak before. And then the new incoming president of the women's group said, "Likability? I don't think so. We're not doing it." And I realized that people don't understand the value of likability and how likability directly correlates to the bottom line. Likability leads to retention of your employees. Likability leads to loyalty, productivity, engagement, collaboration, innovation from your employees. But it also leads to our ability to garner recommendations, references, referrals, have repeat business. People will actually pay a premium for likability. Research has shown that people would rather do business with somebody they like over somebody with a cheaper product, over somebody with a higher quality product. So people pay for the relationship.
And what is it that makes, besides a bubbly attitude, you know, and a smile and all that kind of stuff, what is it that makes someone likable to another individual?
Well, I always say you can't make someone like you. And for some people, a bubbly attitude might be a total turnoff. And people always say, well, how can you write about likability? Well, right? I can tell you sometimes my cheer is like, get out of my face. hopefully not for you.
No, you're fine. I was just thinking before my first cup of coffee, I'm a little bit, get out of my, okay, just cool, chill down a little bit. But
exactly.
So it's not just the attitude, but what else factors in?
There are drivers of likability, and although what could be annoying to one person, that bubbly thing too early in the morning, could be great for somebody else. So it's not prescriptive things like that, but it's understanding the basis at which we form connections. And the book basically takes you to what to do before, during, and after a conversation. So if you think about some of the things that are drivers of connection, the number one thing is authenticity. You cannot honestly and truly connect with another person unless you are really showing up into that interaction. Rather than putting on a face, rather than putting on your, this is my sales face, this is my interview face, this, right? And I don't know who you are. But there's also simple things like curiosity, genuine curiosity, similarity, associations, People like people like them. It's a little bit of a tongue twister, but say it out loud. People like them. And so how do we find what we have in common with whoever is across from us? Because that's going to be our foundation for our connection and our liking.
That's a great point. You know, and there's nothing worse than someone who asked you a question and you think that they're listening and then all they're doing is thinking about their next question. So the listening aspect is a big part of it, paying attention to people, isn't it?
Absolutely, and that's actually one of the laws of likability. And when you start that conversation, I love to start with that curiosity and asking a question, and then you have options. When you listen, which you have to do, you can then either probe and ask additional questions to show that you're listening and to leverage that curiosity that you have to expand the conversation, or you can listen and share. And so then that's your opportunity to give a little self-disclosure, give information about yourself, where we start to have those click, click, clicks of, oh, you too, me too, you know so-and-so, I know so-and-so, and we start to form that trust and that connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in your book, you write that there are 11 laws of likability, right? So which one would be the most important? Would it be that one of listening, or would it be others? What's the most important attribute?
I'm often asked this, and I say there's a tie. There's a tie for two, and I already mentioned one of the two, which is authenticity. Everything
yes.
that you do in business must be from an authentic place or nothing else will matter. And the other one is the law of giving. For me, this is the foundation of everything in business, in life, in relationships, in your results. And I actually give this chapter away, so if any of your listeners want to read just this concept, they can go onto my website and download this chapter for free, because I truly believe if you give first, if you give often, if you give because you can, if you give because you want to, if you give without expectation of anything in return, the results for all people will increase. Not linearly, right? Exponentially.
Mm-hmm. 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 So a lot of people will probably be wondering, though, if I give all the time, how do I convert it to getting, or do I worry about that?
You have to, of course, you have to think about your results, and that's a little bit of the shift in our mindset here. So what I promote is a concept called relationship networking. We're taking three major shifts. We're shifting from the idea of only talking about business to talking about anything. I once had a job interview that was strictly about poetry and animal rescue, and I walked out with the offer from PricewaterhouseCoopers in my hand.
That's great. Okay.
So because those are the foundations of us wanting to be in the same room. So we're broadening our conversations. Shift number two is from short term to long term. We're not just out there and building relationships when we need something, but we're always supporting our network, taking a very mm-hmm. long term perspective on it. And the third shift is that it's not about you. Now, yes, we have to have our results, but I don't want you to be solely like strategic and here's what I need and focused on a result. But it's also not about them. And that's tricky for people, because if you make it all about them, then it is also unbalanced. It has to be about the relationship and about the exchange between and the interaction between the two. So when you're thinking about your results and the things that you need, there's different things that you can do to ensure that people have the opportunity to give back. One, you have to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like, mm-hmm. I can give a whole diatribe on the different ways to ask, because asking is very difficult. And it's really difficult when somebody has to say no, and we have fear of them saying no, or we don't want to be seen pushy. There's all these excuses why we don't ask. I once was doing a talk, and I'm talking about giving, and I have so much passion around this topic, and somebody right in the front row very loudly says, "I'm tired of giving. Where's mine?"
Well,
I mean, the whole room went silent.
There's a couple of things that you hear all the time, and you know, in a leadership position, you hear people saying, "I don't want to be liked; I want to be respected." You know, that kind of
mm-hmm.
thing. And I can't think of any reason why they couldn't be both liked and respected. Can you?
Thank you so much for saying that. I always say those two things are not mutually exclusive. Right? It's not an either or choice here. And so this woman who's saying, I'm tired, and how do I get my results? I'm sitting there very quickly in my head trying to figure out, well, what's she doing wrong? Did she not give the right thing? No, that's not it. Is she giving to the wrong people? No, that's not it. And I looked at her and I said, well, what have you asked for? And she said, well, nothing. And I said,
uh-huh.
Herein lies the problem. You're not going to get it if you don't ask. The answer is going to be no. Now,
and
that's not to say people won't offer. Sorry,
mm-hmm.
go ahead.
No, and I was just going to say, and that kind of brings us back to that asking, because I know a lot of people that are very good at, they're saying giving is great, I could do that all day long, but when they think about asking, they think of that as more aggressive behavior, and they don't want to engage in that because they fear rejection.
So let me give you a couple tricks. First, there's something called the opt-out ask. This is one of my favorites. And this is the way that you make a request of somebody while giving them the reason to say no to you. I know this seems a little bit counterintuitive, but you want to give them the ability to say no as easily as it is to say yes. Because you're taking a long-term perspective, if somebody has to say no to you, now they want to avoid you because they feel bad. And you don't want that. So it's a no for now, but it's not a no forever if you ensure that they're comfortable with that. So you may say something like, for example, I would say to people, if you have the time to give a review, I would appreciate it. Or if your company allows you to put recommendations on LinkedIn, that would be great. And so they already have their excuse. And it's okay. Not that I want them to say no, but it's okay. That's the opt-out ask. We also have the convenient or the alternative ask, where it's an either-or. Could we, if you can't talk to me about this, is there someone else in the organization you might recommend I talk to? So giving them different ways in which they could help you. Or if it's a meeting, it could be, I'm happy to come to your space, or if you prefer, we can meet at a restaurant. What's easiest for you? So really kind of making sure that meeting is going to happen, but as you wish, so to speak. And the shrinking ask makes that ask smaller each time. So if you can't make lunch, how about a cup of coffee or maybe just a phone call? It gets smaller each time. And this is a new one. I love this one. I have a new one called the non-ask, and this, for your listeners, might be the easiest one to implement because you're not actually asking, you are informing. You might say something like, well, my goal for my business this year is to land this client or enter this industry or grow whatever. And you might follow it up with simply, do you have any ideas for me or any advice? What are your thoughts? Anyone I should talk to? Right? So it's kind of very open-ended. And you don't even have to follow up. You can just say, these are my goals. And when you are in a relationship with somebody, we always are looking for ways to help. I believe in most people do want to add value. They just don't necessarily always know how. And by kind of saying, here's what I'm working on, they might go, oh, I could help you.
Right. So basically having something in your arsenal, if you will, of asking so that you do actually ask, but you're doing it in a nice way. You're giving people the opportunity to deflect without having, because most people don't want to reject anybody either. They're very nice about that, but people will say things like, let me think about that, or I got to ask someone else, and they're really, and in most cases they're saying no, but here you're giving them other choices that could lead to another way to work with them.
Exactly. And, you know, even in a job interview, I always say a no is not a no, because it might not be this job, but it could be your next job when they're working somewhere else that you've kept that relationship. So for entrepreneurs, because the customer's not a customer then, I have people who have never bought services from me but have recommended me left and right. And so there's a lot of different things and ways in which we get our results. And oftentimes those results aren't from the direct person we gave to. And so that's always fascinated me.
The mystery of a referral. You if you're nice and you do what you say you're going to do, half of the battle is showing up. And for most people, that's even difficult. And if you just follow these rules, then good things will happen to you. Maybe not the way that you imagine them sometimes, and maybe even bigger and better ways.
Yes, and maybe not from the people you expect, but it's sometimes really hard to track how things happen. I don't know if you ever heard the story from Wendy Kaplan Thaler of the Kaplan Thaler Group. They do Aflac. It's an advertising agency. When she got asked to pitch on Aflac, she asked who recommended her, and she didn't know him. And so she asked for their information to call them up to thank them. And she said, well, how do you know about me? And they gave her name, and she didn't know them. It took her 7 phone calls to figure out how she actually got there.
That's amazing.
Yes, I love that story.
Somewhere in the background, somewhere. So the key is go out every day using these laws of likability, become a person that people genuinely like to be around and like to refer people to. And your book is called 11 Laws of Likeability, correct?
Yes.
And you also do a course for groups like Vistage that have business owner groups that learn about. So you're a speaker for Vistage?
I am a speaker for Vistage, and I actually just launched a two-day course called The Relationship-Driven Leader or Employee or Entrepreneur, based on the book that really takes everybody through all 11 laws and how to apply them to your business. Concepts like mood memory. When somebody leaves your organization, your store, your department, your team, you, how do they feel? What's their associations with you? And so really applying these concepts, not just to you as an individual, but to your business.
That's interesting. What do people say was the biggest surprise or aha in your content?
It depends on who you ask, because I actually just did a whole questionnaire of people who took the last program, and a lot of people really enjoyed some of the laws around self-image and perception, really getting a little clarity around how do you want to be known within your marketplace, and how do you want your product to be known within your marketplace, whether it's a service, a product, a team. These concepts apply internally and externally. So it's interesting for a business owner, if you think about the service that you're providing, how would somebody differentiate that from the competitive service?
Very interesting. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm.
I always lean towards some of those marketing concepts where they're like, if you say Tiffany's, what do you think? Luxury. If you say Ford, what do you think? Rugged. You want to create that association as well.
Great points, Michelle. How do our listeners get in touch with you, first of all, and to get your book and that type of a thing? What's the best way for them to contact you?
I would love for people to get in touch with me. They can always find me through my website, which is Michelle Tillis Letterman. And is it going to be on your show notes, or would you like me to spell it out?
We'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. And through there, they can download the book. There's links to purchase the book on Amazon. There's also the 11lawsoflikeability.com. We'll tell you about the program. And you can find me on LinkedIn, on YouTube. I got a blog. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm everywhere. I want to hear from you.
You're great. I really appreciate your energy you brought to the show today. And great tips. And I'd love to get more into depth with them in a future interview with you, if you'd like to come back on sometime.
Anytime. Just let me know.
Well, thanks very much, Michelle Letterman and Executive Essentials. So go to her site, find out her information, become likable, and see how the world changes for you. Michelle, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Take care.
That's going to do it for our show today. Thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate you sitting in. We had a fantastic lineup of guests. And remember, at exitcoachradio.com, you can find all of our archives for over 500 of our speakers, our guests, in 35 different topic file folders. So please tell everyone about Exit Coach Radio, and if you've heard something and you'd like to be on the show and comment on it, go to our website, exitcoachradio.com, and click the link to become a guest. I want to thank Julie Tabazon for keeping everyone on time and in line, and I want to thank you for listening. We're here for you, the closely held business owner, so that you can be well planned. Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you, or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.